was a problem, yo, I saw him.
Word to your mother.
Well, we're going to have to talk now, so. Thanks for listening to Two Cool Moms. I'm Joe. Tell the people who you are, Steve.
We're going. Hi. Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne, baby.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Cool Moms, friend.
You were just watching a trailer for a summer movie.
Summer movie. I love summer blockbuster season. My favorite.
The minute I say summer blockbuster, what's the first movie that comes to your mind?
Independence Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Why Independence Day?
I just think it just did. Just
that's the one that comes to mind.
I guess it's also it's based in the summer, you know, 4th of July weekend. But
yeah,
that's one of the ones I really think. I mean, for a while, Will Smith owned that market of summer blockbuster, right?
Like, sure.
It was always when all his films came out, I think.
Now it's just a
I don't know.
Face buster.
Yeah. Ching chong. I don't know what when Stallone and Schwarzenegger were dropping there, they were like the big action heroes. Their movies weren't necessarily summer movies, though. They were just coming out when they came out, right?
I don't remember them being summer blockbusters.
I don't know. What about for you for blockbuster? Well, now it's all Marvel, right? All the Marvels, they always kick off the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think, I don't know, Jaws, because it was the first one. And I finished reading that book by the author. But yeah, that was the first summer blockbuster, Jaws.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Because films were not geared towards, you know, being seasonal or anything like that. But now you see Star Wars films were being released in May.
Mm-hmm.
So just as kids getting out of school. So hopefully you have a long theatrical run.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. But then you have, then because of scheduling with the last ones that they rebooted, they released them over the holidays. So you get a strong holiday run into the new year.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good time to drop a film. Right? If it's a family film.
Yeah,
the Halloween movies. I mean, you get all the horrors come out around then, so I guess there is a cycle. You get the rom-coms during Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, around then, right?
But you just saw the Flash trailer. What'd you think?
The trailer looked great.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna see it.
Definitely go see it. When I was watching, I was like, they cast Ezra Miller like a young boy, and then they show the little boy, and it's like, kid can't even run.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, why would you cast a kid that, like, looks at him, but it looks like he just learned to run? It's like like a newborn fawn
like
that,
a
like,
deer, like, with like, the legs haven't locked
they
yet.
Can't move.
The legs haven't locked. It's on the side of the Garden State Parkway. It's like, what is going on here?
Yeah. But look, all those DC movies, they always look great. I always get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you're kind of like, that was good. Yeah.
I had written a summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
The beginning of it. This was pre 9/11, and I had done a summer blockbuster where the opening sequence was a synchronized bombing attack all across New York, where it opened in Shea Stadium.
Right.
And there was a pitcher stepping on the mound.
Right.
And he was like kicking the thing, and, he steps on the I don't know what that white thing is called. He steps on it and then he just notices like a little red light, like under it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he lifts it up, and it's like the bottom of the seventh. That's like the big part of the game. Everybody's, you know, and he lifts it up, and he just sees it, and he just sees like a counter under it.
Oh shit!
And then at the same time, like, there's people stuck on the Verrazano Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff, and then, like, you know, they just see all these people find these clocks, and it's just a synchronized New York just gets decimated, and then it was the story of this commander that had to come out of retirement. And go and like solve all of it. Like, that was like my big thing. And I had written like the first maybe 15, 20 pages.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool opening, though.
It's a cool opening.
I would say I'd feel bad for people in Shea. Like, on the Verrazano, it's like, fuck it. It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. That bridge. Verrazano Bridge is the longest suspension bridge in America.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
What's the distance?
2.6 miles. I made that up. I don't know. But. It's long. Here's the thing, too, though. It's so long that it has to have curvature. So you go uphill while you're driving it and downhill while you're coming over it.
But it is the longest
it's
bridge?
It's the longest suspension bridge in America.
I was just in San Francisco, and...
Golden Gate's a nice bridge.
See? Here's my point. Here's my point, Joe. Go to any souvenir shop. What's that? Is it?
2.5 miles.
Oh, it's 2.5
miles. 2.5 miles, almost exactly.
Good guess.
You said 2.6. You're off by a tenth of a mile. That's crazy. Yeah. You just guessed that.
Just guess that. That's how
we're sorry. Mathlete. It's 2.59.
Oh!
So you are on the money.
It. I rounded up.
Wow.
Look at that.
That is pretty amazing,
pretty
dude.
Impressive.
You're the Mathlete.
You know what I think I did actually once, now that I'm saying it? I think once I clocked it, because I used to drive over it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, how long is this thing? Mm-hmm. And I think that just stuck in my head. I never knew it, you know, but I guess it just popped up and said that geeky math number thing. It was like, all right.
Well, you're single now.
Yep.
So feel free to drop that knowledge bomb on all the ladies in the tri-state area.
Thing. Yeah. Let me tell you a thing or two about a thing or two.
There was one time I rented one of those little yellow tourist cars. Do you ever see those? They're kind of like go-karts.
Yeah.
But you have to have the helmet
on, and you get
to tour around the thing. And it's pretty cool because it has like a little radio. And it's like a GPS thing, and it tells you where to go, like a little lady. It's programmed, and it tells you where to drive and everything.
Kart.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. It's electric powered. It's not gas powered.
Oh, no.
And so when you're going up hills, they say stay in the road, and there are cars just like,
get the way.
Like anybody that lives there.
Slow up the hill.
It's really embarrassing. It's not worth the... of seeing the city like that.
The heckle for me would be like, you're a grown man. Get on the trolley. Oh, that's so funny. I can't imagine.
You spent much time in San Fran, though?
I did.
The
company I worked for, Giggle, started there.
Oh, really?
So when I went back, that's where the hometown was when I went to train a little store. And then they opened a lot in the Bay Area. They were in Walnut Creek. They were in Corte Madera, a lot of places around there. So I had spent some time in San Fran, yeah.
It's such a beautiful city.
So great.
I love it.
So great. There was a great CVS there that I got a Royal Dance cookie bin from in 2001.
A CVS?
Yes.
Well, now you can just take anything you want.
That's right.
In the CVS in San Fran.
That's it. You can do what you want there. First time I was ever in San Francisco for Real Reels was with the boys. We played our first big gig was a San Francisco Sketch Fest. It was year one. For them, they just celebrated, I think, their 20-year anniversary.
Oh, you guys were at the first one?
We were the first one ever, the Tenderloins.
And this is just when you guys are just on YouTube.
Just on
how'd they discover you then?
You're just on YouTube.
You submitted?
Yeah, we submitted for it. And we did one of our sketches, but one of our sketches had a geisha woman in it. And we didn't realize how...
Excuse me, Joe. I'm going to have to...
I know. Yeah. And we didn't realize how sensitive a topic it was, especially in San Francisco.
Oh, right, right.
And it bombed bad. And then we were like, why did this... Because we're like, this is funny. It kills in Staten Island.
Right.
And then we were like, oh, it's insensitive.
Oops.
And you did it like in their backyard. Like,
right.
So it was that was a bad experience there.
Was Murray the geisha?
No. Our friend Gideon, who used to be with us for a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had a few different members prior to.
Botch started it first, Mike Baccio, and before we had Q. And then when we expanded to be traveling sketch, Gideon was a great sketch actor. So he came in. He was an actor friend of ours in New York.
Did you ever wonder or contemplate how different things would be? Obviously, they worked out the way they did.
Multiverse of Madness, man.
Yeah. I mean, how the different personalities, obviously it worked. You know, how different would it have been?
Very.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. Yeah, very. I think Q was a difference maker because when you put Q in there, he had a different perspective on comedy. He had a different viewpoint.
Right.
He wasn't afraid to speak his mind on stuff. He cared in a way.
Right.
Like in a big way that made other people, his care was like infectious a little bit.
Right.
You know, there was a thing about like kind of you wanted to, he was a little bit more of an outsider. I didn't know him as well as I knew Mur and Sal. Mm-hmm. So there was a thing of like trying to impress is the wrong word, but it's kind of the right word too. It's like you want to, show that you could be funny or think of something outside the box.
Right, right.
So that kind of stuff. So, and also like to get retorts from him or to when you're writing with him and it was always fresh. It was always different. You know, when I wrote with, you know, me, Sal has got, Murray's got a very corny, well-executed humor. Mm-hmm. He knows corny well. He could be very corny. He writes funny when it comes to corny. He acts it very well.
Right.
He plays a great straight man when it comes into something. You know, things like that. He knows how to overact comedically. Like those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's his wheelhouse, you know?
Sure.
So to write for Murray was really easy. Sal, on the other hand, you could just say, Sal, order a cupcake, and he would do it funny. Like, you didn't have to write for Sal, really, you know? And then there was Q, where Q was really, when you wrote for Q, it was like, he was kind of like this not as happy kind of guy.
Right.
He kind of like blue collary feel to him.
He's more the everyman.
Kind of a little bit, but not that Sal and Q and Mar and I aren't.
Yeah.
You know, I'd argue that we probably are on equal playing fields. Besides Murray, Murray has a little bit more of an air to him about being like, I went to Georgetown, you know what I mean, kind of feel. But like, I mean, Sal was a bartender. He was a man of the people, you know what I mean? Right. I mean, Sal was a bartender. You can't get more man of the people than a bartender.
Sure, of course,
you know?
Yeah.
I was in sales, you know, I was working retail, you know, so it was kind of like that. It was just like Murr was in production. You know, Murr right. was, you know, so when you're writing for Murr, he was like more businessman-y, I guess is the right way.
Right, right.
When you put Q in the mix, that's really what sparked the whole thing up, where it was like, oh, this is the right formula. This is the right recipe.
Right.
Yeah.
So just kind of recalibrated.
Yeah. And everybody found a role. He really liked writing, but he didn't like directing or, you know, as much or whatever, you know, but mm-hmm. he really liked to write and he was really good at it, is still. And, you know, the way his mind work was different. And when you put somebody putting in a different thought than everybody else is throwing in the water.
Right,
you
know, right.
So it was kind of fun.
And how long had you guys been together, at least the core three, prior to?
Well, we formed in 99.
Okay.
And then Q came in 2000 and, well, I moved in 03 and I came back in 05. So I think he joined in 2006.
Holy shit, really?
2006, Phil. Full?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I think it was that. He had guest with us and worked with us all throughout it, though. We did this format called the Armando, which was basically someone got up and gave a monologue.
Right.
And then you made scenes off their monologue. They told a story. Q's a great storyteller.
Right.
Yes, a very full life. So he would get up there and tell a story, and from that we would create three scenes from that. Then he would come back in and whatever. And he'd always done that for us. He was our best, they would call him monologist. He was our best monologist always.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating. Yeah. So the Armando
Diaz, it was named after. It came from a UCB style Upright Citizens Brigade in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was just based on the Harold is a long form story where it doesn't have monologues, where you basically just make up a play.
Right.
You visit each scene three times. You make three scenes up and visit it three times. And each have a conclusion, and the last scene ties everything together, and that's called the Harold.
Right.
The Armando has a monologist in the middle, so you're making like kind of vignettes, and it breaks it up, and puts kind of like a stand-up feel in the
right.
middle. It was a cool marriage. And everything doesn't have to wrap up as cleanly because you're coming back from the stories and whatnot. But
right.
when it does, it's pretty cool too. So like that's the format we did. And we just loved it. So,
Independence Day. Bringing it all back.
Independence Day.
All right, here we go. Let's get into this.
Why did you hear everybody falling asleep while I was talking about that?
This is coming to us
Three people might have found that interesting.
Cowboy Kate. I found it interesting.
Great. Cowboy Kate.
I did not know because, you know, you always hear the things about Joker's, about like lifelong friends, high school. I didn't know that you guys were together virtually 6 years. And then Q comes in and then it's just...
Yeah, but we went to high school with him too. He did improv with us in high school, and he performed with us all through the Tenderloins time. He just wasn't an official loin.
That's crazy. Yeah. I always assumed joined at the hip, but I was wrong. Cowboy Kate.
My timing might have been completely off of that too, but that's how I remember it.
Right.
So,
but you know the Verrazano.
The Verrazano Bridge.
2.6.
2.6.
2.59. Cowboy Kate writes to us.
Okay, Cowboy Kate.
Cowboy Kate. And, this is a little depressing because I prefer to get a message from Reverse Cowgirl Kate, but
you gotta get what comes in, buddy.
Sorry, guys. I'm sure she's never heard that before. Okay. If you could have a lifetime supply of something, what would it be? A lifetime supply
what a great
of
question,
something.
Kate. All right. So now, first, you got to split that into two things. Are you doing fantastical or are you doing like real?
Let's do both.
Okay, so let's start with fantastical.
Fantastical.
If you go on fantastical, lifetime supply of anything.
Yeah.
I would have to say, oh, that's tricky.
Okay, fantastical, you ready?
Go.
Lifetime supply of anything. I would want unlimited, or an easier way to do it, but just like unlimited miles on an airline so I could go anywhere I want. That'd be my fantastical.
Rewards points.
Yes.
Lifetime supply of rewards points.
It just never ends. I could fly anywhere.
Okay, so then I would just take that out of the mix for you and just say, why wouldn't you have a lifetime supply of Amex gift cards? Because then you could buy anything. So it's not just.
But I'd want to travel.
So you could use those. But then if you want to pick yourself up a Rolex watch, you just peel them off the 500s. That's money. I see what you said.
I went micro, and then you went macro.
Yeah, your
you said, well,
though,
why
like,
when you're doing
so you,
it, why not
you went,
just.
You said, how do I make travel a lifetime supply? That was a great answer.
I think I know what yours would be. Watches.
It's not bad. But you run out. My first thing, honestly.
Run out of time?
You run out of time.
You'll never run out of time.
That's right. You never run out of time. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Stevie Weavy. that I was thinking. The first thing that came to my mind, I don't know why, it was comfy blankets.
That's the worst. you can get a blanket anywhere.
I know, you can. But if I had a lifetime supply of them, once it got a little, I get rid of this one, I get a new one. That's like, why, that's what came out. But I would,
like
I will
tissues?
Say just, no, I would probably say shoes. Because it's something that needs to get run through. And shoes get ruined a lot.
Let me ask you this. If somebody said to you,
yeah,
I'll give you a lifetime of shoes, or you could travel anywhere you want, anytime, on any airline, what would you choose? I'd take the fucking airline. Shoes I'd buy. You can always buy shoes. But you can't buy trips all... I mean, you could, right? But to just have that access to go anywhere at the drop of a dime.
That's fun.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, but no. But then why don't you just like get a private plane and you're done? Then you're driving...
But this is a lifetime supply. This is not a life... Okay, I get a lifetime supply of private jets.
There you go.
Is that what you want?
That's not right. That's not right. That's not playing. That's not the spirit of the game. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But in your fantasy, you're flying economy. Maybe comfort plus. I mean, that's your fantasy. It's like, I'm going to get extra leg room.
Yeah, that's true. I would get my wish. I'd be like, Jeannie, this is my wish. She's like, are you sure? It's like, uh-huh.
Yep.
And then I'd be in a middle seat going to Tokyo. I'd be furious. I'd be like, fuck it. I'm not going though. If I had a middle seat to Tokyo, I probably wouldn't go.
No.
No, I have to have a window. That long.
You know Jiggy had a middle seat to Tokyo for sure.
Oh, he's saving money.
He's saving money. He's probably sleeping in the overhead storage.
Pinching yen, as they say. Yeah.
Lifetime supply of that fantastical. For real, like it's got to be a food thing, right? It's got to be like a lifetime supply.
Reality would be food, yeah, I would think.
You know, a lifetime supply of clean water, clean drinkable water.
Oh, Jesus. You live in America. What are you in?
Right, you live here, but you're going on your trips. And you end up in Mazakusku, and you don't know Mazakusku? It's south of Parandi. So you're there in Mazakusku.
So you get there, you take thirsty. The Verrazano.
Yeah, 2.59 miles. You get sick, you're thirsty, you want to do a drinky drink, all the
you would get a lifetime supply of fresh, I mean, come on, dude.
I'm trying to think, be practical. Like, what do you need?
What was your fantastical?
My fantastical was shoes.
So you're really in on shoes. That's it. You could go to any. So this is like across the board. This is Nike. You could go to.
Yeah.
Aldo.
I mean, like,
you could
shoes
go.
You messed up. You step in dog shit. You throw your shoe out. You get new shoes. Think about that. Think about how much you spend on shoes. How many pairs of shoes have you had in your life? That's pretty.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I have a lot of sneakers.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, shoes isn't so silly. And how often are you going to travel? You have to work. You know what I'm saying? Well, you travel for work.
Shoes are not that expensive. Like a shoe is.
You're putting a monetary value. I'm putting a convenience value. But here's the other thing. If I have a lifetime supply of shoes, one day I'm wearing the shoes, they're gone. 365 days a year, I'm getting 365 pairs of shoes. Maybe if I'm going out at night, I'm getting a double. I'm going to do a two-dayer. Let's call it 700 pairs a year.
Well, now you're Sal Volcano.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's say 700.
I've never seen more shoes.
Let's say 550 pairs a year. That's conservative.
That's if you're Brewster's Millions.
That's disposable shoes.
That's like, I've got to use all these shoes.
Right.
I've got to spend this $1 million in 1 month.
Right. I'm making something disposable. That doesn't have to be. I see what you're saying.
See, I think fantastical. I think I knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
With flights.
I don't disagree. That's actually pretty good.
Or you could say like unlimited concert tickets. I would do that one too. I would go see any show I want. Anytime.
That is a better one. That's a better one, hands down.
Because, I still think trips.
No, because you could always buy a ticket to anywhere. You can't get into like the new concert if it sells out. You could be shut out of a concert.
You could get tickets. All you have to do is call your agent.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about a person. And we think that's going to last forever?
I'm not talking on behalf
Joe
Gatto
from Two Cool Moms. Can I get tickets to see Jesse's Girl, the 80s hip hop, the 80s cover band? Sorry, Joe. Who's this?
I still think air travel is the best one.
Air travel's not bad, but the what do you call it's not bad either. How about this?
Yeah.
I'll take concert tickets. You take that, and we'll go everywhere together and see.
There we go.
Perform.
Okay.
Great.
We'll go.
But
see
what do you do for
T-Swizzle?
T-Swizz. What do you have to do for real? What do you have to do for like the real one? Like it's got to be food, right? Because you'll never go hungry.
It's got to be food.
You'll never go hungry. But you can't just say food. I don't think that's
No. Yeah, I agree with you.
So it has to be like cornstarch.
But then it's like, are you getting gluttonous? Like, is this a guilty pleasure?
No, it's got to be a survival one. It's got to be like avocados.
Yeah, but we're not on the History Channel show alone.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
true.
It's like we live in society.
But then you'll get sick of anything if it's going to be a lifetime supply of it. I mean, yeah. I would get sick of Oreos. A lifetime supply of Oreos? You know what, Oreo? Test me. Test me. Let's see.
Challenge.
I don't have that much time left. It's not that big of an investment.
Kill me, Oreo. boy, a lifetime supply of...
That's why I went with water.
Yeah, but you can have water right now. It's free.
Yeah, it's true.
You go to the faucet.
But I'm saying I'm here. I'm not in Morumbi. If I'm in Morumbi...
Where's Morumbi?
It's south of Panara. Panera Bread. yeah, I guess that... I think it's got to be some sort of food thing. Eggs.
Or, to your point earlier, underwear.
Great.
Yeah, you can just chuck it.
Chuck them. You don't have to wash nothing. Unlimited supply of clothing.
That I probably do.
Saves you so much time.
Oh, my God.
Energy.
No dry cleaning.
Soaps.
No washing.
Dry. No folding. Wrinkles. Ironing. Done. All that part of your life's gone.
I have to. You know what it's like to. I mean, these
you
kids.
You said that like I was going to be like, I do.
These little fuckers. Yeah. They wear something once and throw. I'm like, ooh. I haven't washed these jeans in 4 months. Put it back on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's actually a pretty good one.
Clothing would be good.
Shoes. All right. Next question. I'm done with this one.
I'd say McDonald's French fries, though.
Oh, yeah.
I love them. I'll tell you this. I had one of, and I'm not joking when I say this, I took a picture of it.
Of course you did.
I had one of the greatest sushi meals I've ever had last night.
I'm so jealous. You didn't invite me.
Japanica. It's right around the corner from Panera Fair. but Japanica, I think it's called Japanica. It's in between the stand and the cellar. I was walking down. I was like, boy, I could eat. I went in. They closed at 10:30. I was like, this is perfect. I had my book with me. Sat down. Maybe two other couples in there. I had a... What's the white wrap called? You know when you get a crab roll and it's the white... It's not the green soy paper, but it's white.
Right. Is the rice on the outside or the soy?
Maybe it's a rice wrap or something like that, but it's really soft.
With the rice on the outside, yeah.
They crisped the sesame seeds on it.
Love that.
Oh my God! That and the crab was fresh. It wasn't because I always ask, "Is this imitation or is this real?"
It's real crab.
They go, "It's real crab." I had a, you know, the yellowtail. They usually give you a ponzu.
Yep.
They had this green sauce. I was like, "What the fuck is this?" Green. I asked him. I go, "What is this sauce? It's fantastic. It's a jalapeno sauce."
Oh.
But it was a sweet jalapeno sauce.
It
was like a tang to it, right? And it was a little hot, it was like sweet and sour.
Wow.
And they blended it.
Sauces make the roll.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Come on.
I want to go. You want to go after this?
It was fantastic. One of the best meals I've ever had. What was the point?
Unlimited food. You said French fries. And that's how we got there.
So I had this great sushi. Go do my show. Get back to the room. I know we got 2 hours of work to do. I'm up late. I'm
Uber
like,
eats
you know
the
what?
Fries.
Let's get some McDonald's.
Yep.
And I got it. I'm telling you. When you don't have McDonald's for a while, that quarter pounder is sensational. The fries are fantastic.
But you had to feel terrible 20 minutes after.
And I got an unsweetened tea, but then I got a Coke just so I could have, I just want a few sips.
Just a few.
When you don't have sugar for, have you gone on like a sugar strike for a while and then you have a Coke?
Never.
You ever done it, Mike?
I don't drink colas or sodas that often. I'm a seltzer guy, but as soon as I get that sweet rush of soda,
you're like, wow, that's a lot. All you do is taste the sugar.
Hurts my teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's. I was like, God damn, I haven't had a Coke in a while, and I had like two or three sips, and I was like, God damn, this is fucking awful. It's like way too.
Really? Wasn't a Coke and a smile after a Coke in a while. I'm telling you. Stuff. That's why they say you gotta keep having it. You have a Coke in a while, it's not Coke with a smile.
There's the first merch.
Coke in a while.
Okay. This is interesting.
All right, hit me.
All right. This is very interesting. This is quite the conundrum.
Oh. Well, that's what we're here for.
Coming to us from Rach. Hey, moms, fact check inquiry. since you are both dads to a son and a daughter, would you say this is true?
So we're going to be given a statement, and we have to say, do we think it's true?
Would you say this is true?
Okay.
I would die for my son. I would kill for my daughter. Love the pod.
Oh.
So would you say this is true? I would die for my son. I would kill for my daughter. Whew.
So the way you break it down, well, I think I would die for both of them.
Yeah. And some say that's the definition of love.
If you die for
I've
someone.
Heard that. It's like you, when you're asked, how do you define love? You know, there's a
you would
thousand different.
Die.
And one of the big definitions is that you would die for that individual.
Okay.
And I think it's got its roots in Christianity.
Oh, I gotcha. So the first thing I have to look at.
I'm not going to lie. I would think about it.
I would think about it.
It's like, would you die for
it? It
your...
also depends on the day.
Well yeah. Right, is it Tuesday
day,
or is yeah, it like Friday? I got
things to do.
We got playoffs. NHL.
My family would have an easier time existing with me than I contribute a little bit more. If we're gonna be honest, could have another one of those.
Has he ever written a cold open?
There's only one. No. There's only one.
I don't
think so. But that die also implies that you wouldn't die for your other one, and you wouldn't kill for your other one. I wouldn't kill for my son. I wouldn't kill for my son. I don't know if I guess that means that you would take a wrongdoing to your daughter much more to heart than you would for your son, and you'd want to justify it.
I think that's what the...
Yes.
There is some... look, these days, right, there's a sexist bent to it, right? That, like, the daughter is incapable, which, guys, we're going to be on. But that you would need to protect her,
right.
And the son would be in a dire situation where you would have to sacrifice your life for his...
I would die for my son, but I'd kill for my daughter. Meaning that your son... Well, you're taking it that your son...
I would die for my son, but I would not kill for my daughter because that's why we have a legal system,
guys.
It's
I would press
society.
Charges.
It's
I would press charges for my daughter.
God damn it, guys. I'd hire a good lawyer for my daughter.
I would lawyer up for my daughter.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I would say this. I would say this. Take you to a point where you would die for your kid. I'm thinking it from a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, which I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about my 30-year-old son and my 34-year-old daughter.
No, after you leave the house, fuck that. You're on your own. Yeah.
But I think I'm saying I would die for either of my young children. So I wouldn't say I put that on it. I don't know if I would. The kill comes into like, I go right to like a movie or something where somebody like drunk driver kills your kid and then you're like, I'm going to get justice. They get let off and you have to go kill this person.
Right. Yeah.
Would you kill somebody if they killed your kid?
Like Taken.
Yes.
Taken, 100%.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the skill set,
I don't have
though.
The skills, but if I did, I'd
If I was Liam Neeson, my bag, I'm going to do the best I can.
Pack in my backpack.
I'm going to hire those two Nigerians that Jussie Smollett hired and maybe bring some backup.
Maybe some backup.
They seem incompetent, yeah. But...
You get a baseball bat.
Yeah, I
probably
got a bat.
Need one.
I wrestled in 7th grade. That's kind of my skill set.
I would... Okay, that's a great scenario.
Yeah.
The daughter's taken.
Yeah.
You call me up. You're like, Joe, my daughter's been taken.
Yeah.
Let's go. what's our first move? what's our first?
Here's my first move,
Expedia?
call the authorities.
Steve, I'm going to have to tap into your unlimited miles. I gotta get to Bulgaria.
Joe, that wish was kind of for me, but
listen, I'm gonna bring sneakers.
You're gonna what?
I got sneakers. I'm gonna bring them. I'll just be throwing shoes at these people. That's when it comes in handy. And there you have it.
That's an interesting question, though. Yeah.
I feel like I would die for either of my kids. I'm not saying that because you have to say that. I actually literally thought about it.
Yeah.
And I think I would die. The biggest conundrum I always had been given, and me and Murray talked about this at length, was you're on a boat and you could only save one of these three. It's your wife, your daughter, and your mother. The
your
boat's
daughter.
Going down. And then everybody instantly says your daughter.
Because the two moms would be like, look, you got to save her.
No, it's not up to them.
But my mom would be like, she says all the time.
It's not.
I bought my mom.
It's not the mom
for her birthday. What'd you say? You got to say.
No, I would say it's not the mom.
Who
we
is
all
it?
Agree it's not the mom.
Who's
it's the mom, the wife, and the daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
We all know it's not the mom.
Of course.
Yeah.
I bought my mom a necklace for her birthday.
Try to hang
a nice necklace.
She's like, thanks.
She goes, why would you spend jewelry on me? I'm not going to be around that much longer.
Oh.
I don't care. I mean, that's so Korean. She doesn't
that
give
is.
A shit. And then my wife would absolutely bubble and save living.
Yeah, right.
And I'd be like, but when you're dead, when you're in a club, do you mind if I date? Just wants to be happy. Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. That's what I want to hear. I love you. So I
love you. I think she's gonna be all right. Dad, no, she's not.
You didn't reach your hand out. I was
trying to save her, guys. No, you're palm down.
Look, here's the thing about your mom. She always has to get the last word. She always, and Libby, she wants me to be happy.
But Libby would probably be like, no, I want mom. Can you go? You don't even know how to pay the cable bill.
But very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, that was a conundrum I was always saying. But that's a great quandary. That's a really good question. Sit around and do, you know. I was even
in that scenario, who would not choose the daughter?
The wife is an interesting pick, because it takes your whole life to find the love of your life. You find it, you could have another kid. That's the one that we
hold on.
With. Yeah,
hold on. You can't just have another. Your children are, to meet anybody else, you could go on the street and just meet somebody.
Not true.
That is so true.
Not true.
You can absolutely. How many times people, you're the love of my life, I would never be without anybody, and then something unfortunate happens to that individual, right. And then a fucking year later, they're walking down the aisle.
Okay.
So, to me, it's like
it depends on the age of the child. If it's a 4-month baby, you don't really know that thing. You don't know that thing. If it's a 10-year-old and you've had a rapport, you guys have memories together, it's going to be hard to tug on the chain. But the wife. I'm saying, like an infant? It doesn't even know.
Okay, doctor, late-term abortion. 4-month-old, that's still like, a 4-month-old is starting to smile.
Okay, so 3 months? You want to split hairs? A 2-month-old? I always want the kid. I thought it was a kid. But it's
the funeral
it's
for the baby.
Choice.
Joe is just like, yeah, I didn't really.
But
get
it's
that.
So funny that the
you
mom.
No, he never put forth the effort to get to know me. How about that, guys?
How about that?
He didn't get to
I
know
didn't
me.
I didn't like my kids until they were 2 years old. I'm not afraid to say that. Didn't even
oh,
like
really?
Them. Oh, yeah, I hated them. Didn't hate them. I just didn't know them. Just didn't like them. Didn't connect with them until they were 2 and up.
Some people feel that way. It's 100%. Weird.
People that say, I say that all the time. People are like, you're going to meet that baby. Your life's going to change. It's going to be the love of your life. Not at all. Not
really?
Up to 2 years. Now, can't imagine my life without them. Loved them. So from two, even before this, 2 and up. Like 2 is like when I was like, oh, this kid, this is nice. This is what fatherhood feels like. So I just felt more natural, more comfortable with that. You know?
So it just took time for you.
I guess it just took
some
time.
People growing. Yeah, I instantly just, both of them.
Yeah.
I was just hooked.
But in this conversation about the canoe, the poor mothers. They got no shot. They don't even like, if they had to debate it and be like, well, what? What are you gonna say?
Oh, believe me, if I'm in a canoe, right? And my mom's behind me. Wyatt's here, and my daughter's here. And a voice comes down. You can always save. You can always save 2. This is the look I give my mom. And she'd be like, "Bye,
cannonball."
Yeah.
I got a great query the other night out when I was out and about after I was in the city. We were touring. Went out to the bar after, and someone posed the question to me: if you could meet your lifelong hero, what's the question you'd ask them? And I thought that was a fun one.
Oh, okay. So, A, who is your hero?
Right, and then what do you ask
And then,
them?
B, what would you ask them?
It was a great conversation.
Story. What was your
answer? I ended up with Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I would ask him that question to see who my biggest inspiration was.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I would say that's a very inception-y kind of answer.
I think it's a great question to ask somebody you look up to. And that was the thing we went off on. That was the tangent we went off on. I was like, it's a perfect question to ask somebody you look up to.
And eventually, over the course of time, we just end up in a cave.
In a cave. And as one guy, I would ask Unga Bojunga, how was the Tyrannosaurus beef? That's it. And then you're there.
Unga Bojunga. All right.
Great.
Mel Brooks is yours, huh?
Mel Brooks. Yeah, I think so.
And let me guess, you haven't even started to read the book I bought you.
I did. I'm 6 pages in. So
got, 6 pages?
6 pages. I opened it somewhere.
Okay.
I opened it on the bus.
You're doing it, though.
I did. I'm reading it.
And then how soon did you fall asleep?
I didn't fall asleep very quickly after that. I started getting nauseous. We're on the bus.
Okay. Here's a question.
Hit me.
When is the next live show?
Glad you asked. We're ready to announce it.
We are?
We don't know yet. We should do another live one. You want to do another one?
I'll tell you, that one in Nashville was pretty damn awesome.
So fun.
And I think I remember reflexively when we both came off, we both walk off stage, go in the green room, and we're both like, that was so much
so
fun.
So much fun.
I'd love to do another one.
We should do in Miami. Want to do in Miami? Miami Improv down there is a great room.
You know, I don't need an excuse to go to Miami. So absolutely, yeah.
I mean, we could do it in Nashville again. That's where you live. It's super easy.
Yeah.
If we wanted to do it again. But do you think we switch cities or do you think we do the same one?
We could do it in multiple. I mean, we could always tack them onto a show. We could tack them onto a Monday. We could tack them onto anything. I mean, I love doing them. I mean, to do it live would be so much fun. And that was
we should see when you're with me again. We should start letting people yell at me about that they didn't know you were going to be there and they would have come.
Oh,
we should tell people when you're going to be with me. We have to let them know that. We will.
Yeah, I've been very lax about that.
You don't like telling people you wouldn't know me. That's okay.
No, no, no.
You have to distance yourself. It's fine.
I barely tell people where I am. I'm so bad at it. All the clubs are like, are you going to post? Yeah. Are you going to post? It's like, how about you fucking post?
I'll start doing it. But yeah, we'll do another live one.
Okay. This is coming to us. This is a question. What do you think about frozen yogurt?
I don't like it. I'm not a big ice cream guy. It's the only dessert I don't really get to. If the froyo for me always comes about, what else can I put in? It's the toppings. I have a dollop and everything else. The Captain Crunch is coming in, the M&Ms, the sprinkles, all that. They're all showing up, the wet walnut.
So the yogurt's almost just ketchup for you.
Just ketchup.
And
I'm the inverse, yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah. And you know what really annoys me with some people don't make rooms for the toppings and they get annoyed when everything starts spilling out? You need to be able to, you gotta do either a tight spiral high so you have room around the cylinder, or you gotta go wide fat mouth so you can dump stuff inside. It's just simple, it's simple engineering. And nobody prepares themselves. And then they're spilling all over the place. Everything's sticky. It's so annoying. Oh, God. Thank you for listening to Two Cool Moms. I've been Joe Gatto. And we appreciate you. And that's it. That's all I got time for.
That is so kind of funny.
These mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us and review us. Follow us on all social media and subscribe to our YouTube.